حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل نعم المولى ونعم النصير أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم محمد
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد
وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين أما بعد فقد قال الله الحكيم في كتابه المتين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر صلوات
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
On the subject of insan and iman, man and faith, we had our discussions regarding the things that become an obstacle for a human being to become a mu'min, a believer. Now, we go into the next phase of discussions, and that is, what are the requirements of faith? What does faith and iman entail? And here we see what the issue that we see that is we face a lot, and it should be understood also, is the fact that there's a term that is used by some people to use against Islam and to use against Allah's deen. And this term is called humanity or insaniyat. This is a term that we see is used against Allah's deen and Allah's religion, and is used to condemn Allah's religion. And it is said that Islam does not recognize humanity or does not give value to humans and the efforts of humans and the things that they do, the achievements that they make, and the greatness that they achieve. And we need to understand this issue. And when I want you to understand it from the verse that I read, the surah that I read, in which Allah equates loss to humanity. And He attributes success to iman. So right away He has said that being a human and whatever comes from it and through it leads to loss. And this is, you see, a lot of times is used against Islam and said that Islam is against a human achievement and the efforts that human beings make. And certain examples are used from Islam. And there are many examples that we can go through, but I'll give certain examples that are known. so that you understand what is the issue that I want to explain to you about today. One example that they use is the verse in the Quran that says, إِنَّمَا الْمُشْرِكُونَ نَجِسًا. That the idolaters, the mushrik, are najis, are impure. So now, when it says that those people who are idolaters, they are impure, so they say that, listen, how can this be? They are human beings, just like us. Everyone is a human being. How can you say that one person is a Muslim and he's not najis, and the other person, he is najis? And this, here we see that Islam makes a division amongst human beings. It makes a distinction amongst human beings. That one group is najis, the other group is not. One group is impure, the other group is not. And this is against humanity. It's against being a human being. Because as a human being, we all are equal and we should be one. Why is it that Islam is making this distinction? This is an example that is used to say that Islam is against the achievements of human or humanity itself, insaniyat, in other words. And another example they give is the fact that if a Muslim does good deeds, if he helps others, if he does dua, and if he makes dua, and if he does anything like that and helps others, and whatever he does of good deeds, amal salih, anytime he does good deeds and all these good deeds that he does, so he is rewarded with heaven. He is rewarded with heaven. But when a non-Muslim does the same things, and he does good deeds, and he also helps others, and sacrifices and does these things, and you see that Islam says that he will not enter heaven. How is this the case? That you can only enter heaven if you're a Muslim? This goes against humanity, because human beings are equal and they should be all treated as equal. Their efforts should be realized and their actions should be appreciated. So if everyone is doing good, so they should all go to the same place. Why is it that you have to be a Muslim in order to go to heaven? You see, understand this issue that I'm raising to you, so that you know that all of these, where they come from, where they lead to. Because they say that Islam makes distinction. Another example you can say is that if you're in jihad, right, in the field of battle, and you see a non-Muslim approaches you and he challenges you, and you're about to hide him, and right away he says, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadan Rasulullah. So the thing is that he becomes a Muslim and you let him go. So just by saying these words, he is let go. And if he does not, then he is Ortwit. So why is this difference? Why does Islam create this difference just by him saying two things? I mean, him just saying, La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah, you let him go. And when he does not say it, then he is killed in the battlefield. So why is this difference does Islam make in this regard? This is something that is against humanity. And here also I should explain to those people that when you are in the battlefield and someone does say, La ilaha illallah Muhammadan Rasulullah, then your job is to let go, because now he is a Muslim. And they say, how can these two words make him a Muslim? Because it did happen once that one individual went to fight. In one of the battles, he went to fight, And while he was fighting, the individual he was fighting against, he accepted Islam and said, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. So when he did say that, the Muslim who was there, he went ahead and still caught him and he killed him. So the word came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
The word came to him is that, why is it that I heard that he had accepted Islam? And the man said, yes, he did. And why did you still attack him? And I want you to pay attention to the reply he gave. He said, well, because these were just words he said. These were just words that he said. These were just words that he said. And the thing is that, you know, just by him saying words, he just wanted to say those words to escape me. That's why I did not pay attention to those words. So Rasulullah said, before you use the sword, did you open up his heart to see what was in his heart? Did you open his heart to see what was in his heart? And the ideology behind this, and the reason why Allah gave so much importance to the words of this La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, of him becoming Muslim, is the fact that if that wasn't the case, if you did not become a Muslim by that, if you are not honored by that, if you are not respected by that, everyone will use that as a pretense to take out his animosity against the next Muslim.
Yes. Yes.
He would use that as an excuse to say that, I don't know if he's really a Muslim. So all of our Islam would be in doubt if it wasn't for the fact that Allah said that you must respect the fact that he said, La ilaha illallah and Muhammad Rasulullah.
Yes.
And this is the reason, a lot of times it happens that you see an individual become Muslim and you say, well, we really don't know if he's a Muslim or not. It's not your problem to know if he is really a Muslim. If he says La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, then that is enough, he has become a Muslim.
Yes.
And the reality of the fact is that who knows the Islam of all the other Muslims? How true is their Islam? You know, and if you want to see their Islam, go to them in the early morning and see it. Right? And you'll know what type of Islam they have to accuse others. So the issue is that Allah kept importance in the words of La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, so you respect the words in order to recognize him as a Muslim. But then we see, this is an excuse that is used against Islam and said that Islam is against humanity because it makes this distinction of a Muslim and non-Muslim, of najis and not najis. Islam makes these distinctions amongst human beings and it makes these classes amongst human beings. And hence, Islam is a religion that makes division amongst humans. It does not unite all the humans. Right? It does not unite all the humans. I want you to understand the issue first. What the issue is. That Islam is a religion. If it came for humanity, then it should be for all the humans together as one. It should be able to unite all the Muslims, all the human beings. And if it's not uniting all the human beings, then it's just a narrow-minded ideology, a dogma. That's all it would remain. So now, this is the accusation, or you can say the issue that is raised. And obviously, we need to see what does Islam say about this, and what is the ideology of Islam, and why did Allah say these things, so that we also understand why are these things the way they are. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
You know, a lot of times you see these people who raise these doubts are influenced by certain ideologies, especially through higher education and your modernism and this and that. One day I was invited heading of someone. I went there. But the other Muslims were there also. And I didn't know who these people were, you know, they were like related to me through my wife, you know, so I didn't know all of them. So I saw some people in a group, and there was one individual there who seemed educated, and he was talking. The others were listening. And the way he talked, I mean, there was no full stops, commas, or anything. It's a non-stop talking, going on. Just one thing, he is just going on. And I was wondering what's going on, you know, I mean, what's he saying? You know, let's hear this. And the gist of what he was saying was the fact that, you know what, I was into prayers and fastings and all these things. I was into it one time, and I realized that the more I prayed, the more I did these things, the more I did not like those people who didn't pray. The more I did not like those people who did not fast or did not go for Hajj. So I didn't like that, and then I realized, why am I hating them? Why is this hatred for them? Why am I not liking them? Then I said, you know what? This is the very case. If you pray, it creates hatred. If you fast, it creates hatred. If you do these things, it creates hatred. That's why I left it. I have respect for all human beings. Now I have respect for all human beings, and I regard all of them as one. You know, I regard all of them as one, and I respect all human beings. You see that? Understand? I respect all human beings. So now, when he said this, now all the there are youngsters around him, they're all like listening. I didn't know if they were being changed or what was happening to them. I didn't know what was going on in their minds, you know. But, you know, I said, I have to say something here. You know, so he said that, listen. So I told them that, listen, you know, you have made a very interesting point here. Very interesting point. And obviously, like, of course, you know. I mean, that's a given, you know. If it's for me, it has to be good. It's a given. So the issue is that I said, listen, right, you made this point, very good, this and that, you know. And I have something to add to that also. And now everyone wanted to see what I had to say. And I said, listen, you know what? I was on my way once and, you know, I saw this man whose nose was cut. Whose nose was cut. And I asked the man, and because in the olden days, you know, in old days they used to cut their nose, you know, if you do something wrong or whatever the case was. Whatever these things were, right? But this is, I mean, nowadays, you know, who cuts their nose, you know? So I said to him, like, listen, I saw a man who cut his nose. And I wonder, you know, why his nose cut? Maybe it's an accident, what happened, you know? I said, you know, what happened to your nose, man? So he said that I cut it off. I said, what do you mean you cut it off? I mean, the nose, you know, makes you look good. Right? I mean, the nose is natural. It makes you look good. That's why Allah, He has it there. I mean, why in the world did you do that for? I thought it was an accident or something. So why in the world did you do that for? And the guy said, well, when I had a nose, then I used to smell all kinds of odors. There were good odors, there were bad odors. And I saw that all the odors are Allah's creation. So I should treat all of them as one. And by having a nose, I wasn't able to. I wasn't able to treat them as one, so I cut it off. So now all the orders are same for me. All the orders are same for me. Now, obviously, I didn't know if the others understood, but the guy understood what I'm saying. The guy understood what I'm saying. And the point is, my brothers and sisters, is that if you look at the very argument that they make, how is it that we cannot differentiate between people, we cannot differentiate between human beings. If you want to regard everyone as one, then the very eyes you have to take out, because through the eyes you see someone who's handsome, someone who's ugly.
Yes.
Through the eyes you see someone who's tall, someone who's short. Through the nose you smell someone who's good, someone who's not. Through the ears you hear some good things, some bad things. Everything that you have has the ability to differentiate. Even your own self you must kill in order to regard everyone as one. Because as long as you have the ability to distinguish between right and wrong, good and bad, you will always differentiate between human beings who are good and bad.
Yes. Yes.
There's no way that you cannot differentiate. You must differentiate. It is naturally inbuilt in you to know that someone is good, someone is bad. There's no way you can put everyone together. This is a natural instinct that Allah put in ourselves to know what is right and wrong. If you can get rid of your nature, then you are able to put everyone together.
Yes.
Salawat ala Muhammad wa
ala. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Nature of human beings. The very nature of human beings makes them differentiate. There's no way you cannot differentiate. Because you have that inbuilt instinct in you to regard something as good, something as bad. If you see someone good, you will say he is good. If you see someone bad, you will say he is bad. Even if you don't say it, you will know he is bad. There's no way to run away from distinction. There's no way to run away from divisions. This is the natural instinct that has been put into you. Now the reason why Islam did this. Understand, my brothers, the reason why Islam did this, so that we know what is the basis of this argument. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Islam gave importance to human beings. Islam wanted to give respect to human beings. Islam does not respect those who are not human beings. Islam does not respect those who are not human beings. This is the reason why Islam said that those who are not human beings, those who are not insan, you look down on them. You look down on them. Why? Because if you look down on them, maybe they will realize why you're looking down at them. Maybe they might change their way and become a human being. Maybe they might become insan. But you see, just like, for example, if you see someone is a criminal, someone who does wrong, you see he's a criminal, he's a thief. If everyone is happy with him, he will never realize that he's wrong. He will never realize he's wrong. In fact, he'll be encouraged to be the same way. But what happens is that when you look down on a criminal, when you look down on someone who's wrong and someone who's bad, then that person will at least realize, people are looking at me in the wrong way. I should look at myself and see what's wrong with me. I should myself have to see what's wrong with me. This is, my brothers, the reason why we see that Allah wanted you to know that those people who are not classified as insan. Imagine this. Allah says, "Ulaika kal an'am," they're like animals but worse than them.
Ya Allah.
They're like worse than them. Why? Why? Because of the fact, my brothers. You ask Islam, why are you looking down at the kafir? Why don't you ask that kafir, why is he a kafir? Why is he a kafir? Why is he not accepting his creator? Why did he not accept his maker? If he knows, if he is there, then he has a maker. At least that much the aql has taught us. No matter what aql it is. Aql, intellect, rational itself has taught us that when you are there, when something exists, it has a maker. So if your aql cannot make you reach that conclusion, if you or aql cannot make you reach that conclusion that every aql does, and if you are not able to see that conclusion, how can that person be regarded as a human being?
Yeah.
Understand that. How can that person be regarded as a human being? You see, there are those people who don't even see their maker. Then there are those people who see their maker, but they have misunderstood the message. See, they accepted the maker, they accepted God, but they misunderstood the message. And Islam says that those people who at least realize the maker, but they misunderstood the message, are better than those who haven't understood anything. So now, if you see this distinction, this is the reason why Allah is saying that yes, there is a distinction between a kafir, there is a distinction between Ahlul Kitab, there is a distinction between a Muslim. This is the reason. Those people who haven't understood Allah at all, then Allah is saying that do not respect them. Do not respect them. Why don't you respect them? Why? Because if you don't respect them, then at least they will realize why they're not respected. But if you're happy with them, they'll say, well, you're happy with me, you respect me, even though I hate God. Even though I hate God. And understand where this goes. You see, this one guy who's educated, very modern, has a good job, everything. Let's say he comes to your home, Muslim. He comes to your home. He comes to your home and he's like, you know, and you invite him in. You invite him in and he comes over there and he sits down. And I want you to imagine this as a reality that you are facing. You invite him in, say, all right, brother, salamu alaikum, come on inside. He comes inside and you are there. Now, you know, in order for him to become educated, how long it took and how much hard work it took. Meaning, you know how long it took to get him, you know, he had that degree that he has. That was a lot of work that he put in. So if we say that human beings should be respected, okay, he has put in a lot of work for that. So that should be respected. And now he has made a rank for himself in the society that everyone looks up to him. You know how, I mean, like, how hard it is to attain that? You have to live with the people so that they respect you. How much work you have to put in to make sure that you have a good name and a good reputation. That's also hard work. So now with all of that, as his, as you may, he comes to your house. You invite him in. He sits down. And your wife comes out, and he gets up to shake her hand. Now, I want you to tell me, if that happens to you, would you respect that person, or what? I mean, if this happens to you, yes, those people who have no morals, Allah says, أُولَٰئِكَ كَالْأَنْعَامِ بَلْ أَضَلُّ السَّبِيلَ. Right? They are like animals, but worse than them. Animals walk around without clothes. Right? Animals walk around without clothes. We, if we don't have clothes, we feel ashamed. Those who don't feel ashamed, then you realize, why don't they? Understand, why don't they? So we are talking about human beings now. As an insan, as a person who believes in God, as an individual who has a bit of shame, and honor and respect. Would you handle that situation? Would you respect him? And if you say, no, I would not respect him, then why aren't you respecting him? He has a degree, he worked hard for it. So you should respect his humanness, that he achieved something. He has all these things to his credentials. You should respect that. Understand what I'm saying? You should respect that. But you see, you don't respect it. Why? Because he did something to you. He did something to you that dishonored you, that did not make you feel right. And you became upset. You became upset at him. So now we understood at least this fact, that having a degree is only useful if you are righteous. Having a degree is only useful as if you are good. If you are not good, it doesn't matter if you have a degree or not. But now you see we are upset at him. For what? Because of the fact that he approached our wife. He approached our wife. And so when he approached our wife, we became upset. Even though he has achieved so much in his life, we are upset at him. We do not respect him. So now, understand this issue that I'm saying. When we are disrespecting him because he disrespected our respect. When we are dishonoring him because he has dishonored our honor. Then if that person disrespect the very creator who gave you life, how is it that you are happy with him? Think about it. How is it that you are happy with him? How is it that you can be pleased with him? In other words, we see the issue that this emanates from is this. It is very clear that if a person, if anyone, if the nucleus of his attention is himself, then what is it? What will be important to him will be his own affairs. What will be important for him will be his own affairs. But if Allah is your focus, then your affairs won't be important. It will be Allah's affairs that are important.
Yes.
And this is the reason why we see that when we give importance to ourselves, when we give importance to our own self, then our affairs become important. But when we give importance to Allah's affairs, then His affairs are important. Our affairs become trivial. Now one thing. We heard this a lot of times. And these things, they also, from our environment, we learn these things. For example, I know in other languages, in Muslims, we have this saying that you should light your house before you light the masjid. Is that? Now every language has its own saying. You should light your house before you light the masjid. And you see, and this saying is used as a very respectful saying, even though it goes completely opposite of what Islam says. Completely opposite of what Islam says. Here, why? The reason is, because here, the main thing is that we are important, Allah is secondary. If Allah was primary, then His affairs would be first. Our affairs will be later. But we see that this whole thing was changed around. And we were taught, no, first you take care of yourself. Then when you have time left over, then worry about Allah. Then worry about Allah. This became our way of life. This became our way of life. When we started to give importance to ourselves, we started to give importance to our humanity, us being human beings, us being insan, and Allah is saying, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ. Insan will always be in loss. Insan will always face any type of insan, and human will always be in loss. In other words, the height of humanity is failure. The height of humanity is failure, and the beginning of iman is success. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
And this is the reason when we deal with our things, when it comes to us, we become so upset. We take it to ourselves, personally. He said that to me. He did that to me. Why? Because we are important. We are the nucleus. We are the focus. We are the attention. Yes, I am important. You see that? But when Allah's deen, when someone is not respecting Allah, it's alright. It's alright. Why? Because it's not important. That's why it's alright. It's alright means it's not important. Yeah, he can handle his own thing. No. If Allah is more important, then His affairs should be personal for us. My brothers, understand this example that I'm giving you. So that you understand it from this issue that I just raised. When we are important, then our affairs are important for us, Allah's are not. When Allah is important, then His affairs are more important than ours. This is the reason why we see that when the enemies used to come to face Imam Ali in the battlefield, Imam Ali was never afraid to fight them. He always went after them. He always went after them and he was never afraid to fight them. He would never back off from a fight that people have come to fight against Allah's deen. But when it came to his own enemies, when the time came where people were his enemies, then that same Ali who fought in all the wars was enduring their animosity for 25 years. How easy was it for Ali to raise his sword against these people? No, but you ask the reason. It's because they were his enemies. And when it was his enemies, he did not reply back to them. But those who came to fight against Allah and Allah's deen, he went out to fight against them. This is the way of Islam, that when you are going to face Allah's enemies, then you come out and fight. When someone is your enemy, you let them be your enemy, it doesn't matter.
Yes.
It doesn't matter because your affairs are not important. And understand, one more example I'll give in the life of Imam Ali.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
After the Battle of Siffin, Imam Ali, his knowledge, his greatness, his achievements were such that there were certain people there, and there was one example of this. They were so impressed by Imam Ali, they said that, you know what, the only one who can do this is God. See that? The only one who can do this is God. And hence, what happened is that they said, you know what, you must be him. See that? You must be him. Understand this. Imam Ali warned him and said, you're ignorant.
That's all he is.
So the guy said, no. You're being modest also. You're being modest also. You are him. So Imam Ali struck him. And after warning him, after saying not to say that, he was announcing it, he struck him. He struck him. Now what happened? You see this. Someone who praises you, you should be happy with him. You see that? Someone who praises you, you should be happy with him. And someone who says bad things about you, you don't do anything to them. Imam Ali, those people who came and criticized him and who put him down and who said wrong things about him, he never said anything to them. But when someone came and praised him like this, Imam Ali struck him and he showed that the reason is that when they were criticizing me, they were criticizing me. They were putting me down. But when they were raising me, then they were putting Allah down. This is the reason I did not strike them and I struck him who is against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Salawat ala Muhammad wa
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
Are Haydi
Ya Ali.
And this is the reason, my brothers and sisters, we should see that this emanates from the fact that we give importance to ourselves. And as long as we have that disease in ourselves, to give importance to our affairs, then that iman that is existing there, that is for Allah, it can never enter our hearts. It can never enter our hearts. First of all, we must give importance to Allah's affairs and say, no, Allah is primary, we are secondary. And the life of a mu'min is that he makes Allah's affairs as important and his affairs as trivial. His affairs become unimportant. He will take his time doing his things, but when it comes to Allah's work, he will do it right away. This is the job of a mu'min. This is his life. This is what iman entails. If this is not happening, then there is no iman. And there is no iman. We have iman in ourselves, and Allah has said, "Inna al-insana lafi khusr." Humanity is in loss. And this is the reason why Allah has explained it to us in this way. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the tawfiq and the blessing to be on the right path. Amen. Give us the wisdom to understand His guidance. To hasten the reappearance of our Imam. To make us His helper when He comes. Wa akhir ad-da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Allahumma salli.